Last week, Pastor Wilbur has spent some time to introduce himself. Well, he used around 10 minutes to introduce himself, so I asked him, should I introduce myself today? Yeah, it took me, I think it's more than 10 minutes, Wilbur. But I'm not going to do that this week. I will go to do that week after next. Today we are going to ask the question again. How can we experience God? I think it is one of the most popular questions that people would like to ask. Whether or not you are a believer or a non-believer, it is very likely that you will ask these questions at some point in your life. You know what? This question leads me to think of my marriage. The similar question I ask myself. How can I experience my wife? How can I experience the love of my wife? My wife is Linda. In my eyes, she is a very lovely lady. I like her not only because of her loveliness, her appearance, but also her characters. We met in a youth fellowship around 28 years ago. She was my small group leader. Yeah, you heard me right. She was my small group leader. And I was one of her group members. She was talkative, active, and had strong leadership. She was also very gifted in music. In my eyes, she had a lot of good things. But among all, what impressed me a lot, the most, was her caring heart. She cared about people, especially her small group members, including me. We used to chat a lot over the phone. We talk about school, we talk about church, we talk about life, and we became very good friends. Finally, we got together, and make the story short, after several years, we got married. We have just celebrated our 18th wedding anniversary last May. A pause. Come on, guys. So how did I experience her love during these past 18 years? Is it because I know she cooks at home? Or she cleans the house? Or she feeds the cats? Of course, yes. But I think it is more than that. I think the key of how we experience love from one another is through a good, close, and consistent relationship. Yes, relationship. It is the key for everyone to experience love between one another, right? Of course, we still need to do things to one another in order to build up this good, close, and consistent relationship. But like I said, it is more than that. In the past 18 years, Linda and I have spent a lot of time together. We talk a lot. We chat a lot. We cry together. We laugh together. We are close to one another, and we trust in each other. It was this togetherness and the trust that drawn us together into a deeper and deeper relationship. It was not like that. In our first year of marriage, I have to be honest with you. Even though we had a good relationship to start with, the relationship was not deep enough, not close enough, and not consistent enough. But when times go by, year after year, the more we spend time together, the more we know each other, and of course, the closer the relationship, the more love we can experience from one another. So how can I experience my wife's love to me? Well, the answer is very straightforward. We just need a good, close, and consistent relationship. So back to the real question. How can we experience God? I believe it is the same way we experience love from others. We need a good, close, and consistent relationship. But this time, the relationship is with God. But unfortunately, most of the times we do not get this idea. We put all the blame on God. We like to say we are unable to experience God because He is not here. We cannot experience God because He is ignoring us. He didn't answer our prayer. Last week, when I was in office, Pastor Gabriel was preparing his sermon for the Chinese side. We had a little discussion about this question. But unlike others, we put the focus of our discussion on other praises. Rather than putting all the blame on God, we ask ourselves, what if the problem is not God? What if the problem is man, us? If so, is there any obstacle between God and us which make us unable to experience His presence? One of the things we talk about is that people are always carrying a distorted view of their experience with God. They treat themselves like consumer. What they want is not God Himself, but what God can offer them. They are not interested in what kind of God He is. The only thing they are interested in is whether God can fulfill their needs, their desire. So when they pray, they will just ask things they want. If they can have it, they will say, God answered my prayer. God is really here. I can experience Him. But if they don't receive it, then they will say, God is not here. He doesn't answer my prayer. He's not listening. And so I cannot experience Him. Dear friends, what can I say? I can only say that this so-called experience with God is self-centered and is totally built up on one's own desire. So that's why I am no surprise when Jesus said to His followers, He said, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Because if you want to experience God, you cannot just put all your attention on things you desire or you need. You need to put your focus on God Himself. Like Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because all these things will be added to you." Because your experience with God does not come from you having what you want or what you need. Your experience with God comes from your seeking of Him and His kingdom. And through this process, you will know what kind of God He has been to you. So a distorted view on experiencing God would keep us away from really experiencing God's presence. But there is something else which can also disable us from experiencing God's presence. It is like a blockage inside us that disables us to build out a so-called good and close and consistent relationship with our God. And this blockage, we call it sin. S-I-N, sin. In the book of Isaiah, the scripture said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, or His ear dull, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." Brother and sister, please pay attention here. Isaiah said, it is your iniquities separate you from God. So in other words, what keeps us away from God? It is sin itself keep us away from God. You may be curious when I say that, because we know that we are all sinners, right? We all sin, and we sin all the time. Some sins we might be able to identify it, but some others we may not even be aware of them when they are present. If so, Does that mean that we can never come close to God? We can never experience His presence? No, of course not. Let us take a good look at what Isaiah said very carefully. He said, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save." In other words, no matter how we sin, when we sin, and where we sin, God surely has the power and authority to save us. So, saving us from sin is never a problem of God. What's the problem is, which is also what Isaiah meant here, when people do not let go of their sins, but let themselves keep on sinning, sins will always prevail over and will become one of the major obstacles in their lives to separate them from God. And this is exactly what the scripture meant in Psalm 66, verse 18. He said, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." If we cherish sin, it will cut off our communication with God. Why? Simple. Because what you cherish is totally, completely opposite to God's character. It will only numb your heart, create guilt and shame inside you, and blindfold you from your own darkness. It will keep your heart away from God, from His mercy, from His holiness, from His grace. So imagine, how can someone experience God's presence if he or she is continuously turning away from God? Let me share with you a story from the Bible. Well, this story is coming from Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. Well, this story is about a woman who committed sins. Well, I do not know what happened to her or what kind of sins she committed. But the only things I know is that this woman did not want to stay in her sins anymore. And right now, she wanted to deal with it once and for all. At that period of time, maybe it's just a coincidence, Jesus was in town, and Jesus was joining a banquet at a Pharisee's house. When this woman learned that Jesus was in this Pharisee's house, she made a decision. She decided to go and see Jesus. Let us look at this story. Luke chapter 7, 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. The purpose of Luke using the phrase, "and behold, a woman of the city," is to ask us to pay attention, special attention, to this woman. She came to the Pharisee house uninvited and brought with her a jar of ointment, which we note was a very expensive and precious. This woman stood behind Jesus and somehow, without any reason, she started to weep. Her tears wet Jesus' feet. So she used her hair to wipe them dry. And then she kissed Jesus' feet and also put oil on them. Well, obviously, this woman's behavior had caught everyone in the house by surprise. Who was this woman? Why was she, what was she doing here? Although Jesus did not say anything, obviously this woman's behavior did trigger some thoughts of the people inside the room, such as the Pharisee himself. Luke chapter 7, 36 to 15 continues. "Now, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself in his mind, 'If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is, who is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he answered, say it, teacher. Well, this passage has given us some hints about this Pharisee and this woman. Obviously, this Pharisee knew this woman because at least we see that he knew what sort of woman she was. But even though he knew, to my surprise, he did not do anything to the woman right away. He did not even cast the woman out of the house. You know what? I wonder why. Imagine, you are the host of a party. Suddenly, someone comes in uninvited. You might know this guy, but he is not your friend, obviously. And you do not know why he is here. What would you do? What would you do? Would you ask him to leave? I bet most people would. Because we do not know what this person will do to my guest and to the house or to the events, right? But look at this Pharisee. This Pharisee did nothing here. Neither did he ask the woman to leave, nor did he say anything to this woman. Why? I wonder. Obviously, because these Pharisees want to see how Jesus reacts to this situation. Well, there was a thought that went through his head. If Jesus was a real prophet, would he know what kind of person this woman was? If Jesus was a real prophet, would he know this woman was a sinful woman and he should not allow her to touch him? But Jesus did not say anything. And he allowed this woman to touch him. So the question is Jesus a real prophet? Is he really a man from God? You can imagine this kind of question floating around in the house. Jesus knew what was in this Pharisee's mind. So he said to him, Simon. Okay, we know that this Pharisee is called Simon. I have something to say to you. Is that all right? Simon said, all right, of course, teacher, please say so. So Jesus started to tell him a story following with a question. Jesus said, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt, and he said to him, you have judged rightly. Then Jesus continues to explain this story and also apply this story to this woman's case. Then turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see the woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but for the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little, loves little. Do you know what Jesus is doing here? Jesus was comparing this woman with Simon. Simon did not give Jesus water to wash feet. Why? Well, in the Middle East, when someone was invited to come over for dinner, the master of the house always offered water for his guests to wash his feet. It was an honorable customs in the Middle East. Simon did not kiss Jesus. Also, this is another custom that the master of the house show welcome and thank you to his guests. he did not put oil on Jesus. Well, this is extra. But look at the woman. She washed Jesus' feet with her tears. She wiped his feet with her hair. She even kissed his feet and put expensive and precious oil on them. Why? Well, according to what Jesus said, we know that because this woman had just experienced the forgiveness of God about her sins. As I said before, this woman did not want to stay in her sin anymore. So she identified Jesus as her redeemer. And at this moment, she just desperately longed for the forgiveness from God. So she came to Jesus and asked for his forgiveness. And when she was there, lying along next to the Jesus, regretting what she did before in her heart, somehow, without saying anything, she experienced the forgiveness of her sins from God. And out of this experience, she wept, she cried, she kissed Jesus' feet, she put oil on Jesus, not out of her guilt and shame, but out of a joy and a thankful heart. So what the woman did here was not the cause of her receiving the forgiveness, but the result and the proof of her having received forgiveness of her many sins from God. That's why Jesus said to Simon and the people around, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means, you know, when someone recognizes his inside darkness and can see himself clearly, that how sinful he is, and he longs for the forgiveness of God, you know, this recognition and longing will draw him into an experience of the love and acceptance of God through his receiving forgiveness of his sins. And the more sins he has been recognized and repent, the more love, the more sins he will be forgiven, and the more love he will be experienced in God. You know, when I was young, my pastor always told me that Jesus loves me so much. To an extreme, he was willing to be hung on the cross just for me. To be honest with you, it is hard to understand what that meant, right? Not because I disagree, but just I was unable to feel it. Especially when I have no knowledge of my sins or my wrongdoings. I knew what Jesus had done. I knew what this cross meant, but why did I need it? What was so great about this love? I did not get it. I did not get it. Not until one day when I tried to be honest and took a good look of myself inside, I discovered how sinful I was. I had done so many things in the past that has brought to so much hurt to other people, to so many people, including people whom I loved most. I was so self-centered. I was so selfish. I could not deny the fact that I was really a sinner. Only at that very moment was I able to humble myself and feel that I need God's forgiveness. So, I remembered I pulled out a piece of paper, listed out all my sins, and wrote them down. Then I prayed, I repented, and asked for God's mercy and forgiveness, one after one. And when I was done, do you know what happened? What amazed me was that an unspeakable joy and peace coming from nowhere was filling up my heart. I had a deep sense of affirmation that God had already forgiven all the things I repent in the past 30 minutes. I was like being released from a prison of guilt and shame where I had been trapped for so long. I was freed again. My heart was renewed and opened, and for the first time, I start to get the idea why I need the love of God. I start to make sense of why it was so important to have Jesus in my life. And from that day on, I start to live a new life. I start to experience His presence in my everyday life. Just like what Jesus has said to this woman. Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The woman was saved. And Jesus has pronounced that her sins were forgiven before the public. So she would go in peace. But you take a look. Not just go, but go with an experience of peace and love of God. How did this woman experience God? The answer is very obvious. She experienced God when she humbled herself and repented for her sins. She experienced God when she urged for the forgiveness of God. She experienced God when her sins were all forgiven. The obstacle inside her has been removed. That is how she experienced God. So, back to the real question. Why can we experience the presence of God? Brother and sister, the problem is not God. It is always us. If we cherish and keep ourselves trapped in our sins, sins will surely separate you from Him. But thank God, for He is faithful and full of mercy. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, to us, dying on the cross for us, redeeming us from our sin. He promised and said to every one of us, He said, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He did not reject us because we are a sinner. On the contrary, He opened a new path for us so that we can come closer to Him. It is a path of repentance, but at the same time, it is a path of grace and mercy. It is a path that God invites everybody who longs to experience Him to walk on. So friends, look inside you. Give yourself a moment and take a good look of yourself. Find out the sin that is keeping you away from God. Then repent and ask for His forgiveness. Because the more you want to turn away from your darkness and ask for His help, the more you will experience His grace and love. Because it is the promise that His forgiveness will bring us back and restore us into this good and close and consistent relationship with God. And this relationship will be the key for you and me to experience His very presence. So today, if we really care this question, if we really want to find out the answer, how can we experience God? We may want to ask ourselves some questions and think about what are we going to do with that. The question like, are there any sins inside me which separate me from God? Or the question like, are there any sins inside me that I'm already aware of, such as pride, greediness, self-centeredness, indifference, hatred, anger, doubt, negativity, disbelief, which is, you know, which is opposite to God's character, preventing me to build a good, close, and consistent relationship with God? Or more concrete, are there any addictions inside me? Substance abuse, pornography, sex, alcohol, things that simply you cannot let go of, that keep you away from God? If your answer is yes, may I invite you to repent and ask for His forgiveness. Ask for His light to just shine through your heart and help you to reveal your darkness. Ask Him to give you a courage to ask for a transformation. Ask Him to unblock you from your sins so that you can once again experience His love and presence. Before I close this sermon, let me ask you one more question. Do you know King David? Have you read about him before? Do you know what kind of king he was? He was a very good king. He is a great king, courageous, strong. But you know what? One day, he fell. He committed a very serious sin. He killed someone and took his wife. But thank God, he finally turned around. He repented for his sins. And he made a prayer. A prayer of asking God's forgiveness. I want to read it for you. Because I think today, if we really want to experience God, this prayer might be our prayer too. We need this kind of prayer in our life. We need to be honest to ourselves. We need to face our own darkness. And the only way we can experience His presence again is to let go of this kind of obstacle inside us. Keep us away from Him. Shall we? He prayed, "Have mercy on me, O God. According to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit away from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." May this prayer to become our prayer today. Shall we stand?
Create in me a clean heart, oh, oh God. Yet renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh, oh God, and renew arise, Spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God,
and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew arise, Spirit within me. Within me, cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew thy Spirit within me. Cast me
that we know that
restore
we are all the sinners
me, the joy of thy salvation, and we knew a right Spirit within me.
Lord, we know that we are all sinners. We know that it is sin that always keep us away from. Many times that we put all the blame on you, we said that I cannot experience your presence because you are not here, because you are not present. But today you teach me, you teach us, you remind us the real problem is inside us. It's the sins that keep us away from you. So Lord, this morning, may the Holy Spirit work among us. May your light shine through our heart so that we can see our real self and also give up the courage to humble ourselves to ask for your forgiveness. Because we long for the experience of your presence. We long for seeing you, encountering you. Lord, create in us a clean heart. Renew us a right spirit within us. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from us. May you restore us. Have a good, close, and consistent relationship with you so that we can once again, we can experience your love and your presence. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. you may be seated.